Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
We have to stop joking about this stuff. If you're going to do it to one person, do it to the other. If you're going to raid Donald Trump, raid Joe Biden. If you're going to raid Joe Biden, raid Hillary Clinton. If you're going to raid Hillary Clinton, raid Obama. If you're going to raid Obama, raid Bush. And I can go back, Clinton, whoever.
Welcome to another Financial Guys podcast with Mike Hayflick and my partner, Mike Sparazza. And we are going to talk about who I'll call Mike, real estate mogul Joe Biden. He's really done well for himself after calling himself one of the poorest members of Congress. That was in 2019. He was actually reportedly worth $9 million.
I'd like to be poor like Joe, I'll tell you. I would like to be poor like Joe. But it must be nice, really.
If I'm ever poor, I want to be poor like Joe Biden. Yep. That's right. And remember, he's got like all sorts of other religions that he worships in, in all sorts of ways, right?
He's biracial too.
He's everything.
Yeah.
He's what would you call him?
Perfection.
He's like a chameleon.
Yeah.
He can change. He can be a Muslim, go to the mosque maybe. Yep. He can be Roman Catholic. Yep. He can be a Baptist, you know, whatever. He also though owns some pretty good properties. Here's his Greenville, Delaware. Now, this is from a few years ago, so these might be worth even more. Greenville, Delaware, 4 acres secluded, 6,850 square foot home worth about $2 million. Don't forget this one. The FBI just found that he did not have any classified documents in the Rehoboth Beach, Delaware home. That was a measly $2.74 million, Mike, 6 years ago. 4,800 square foot, overlooks Cape Henlopen State Park, couple blocks from the beach. Well, Joe, why aren't you right on the beach? You know that you don't. You're slumming it, Joe.
He doesn't have the Obama money. That's the problem. He'll get there. He'll get there, but he doesn't have it yet. Now, in all seriousness, though, before we get into the documents, remember, folks, these are the same people telling you that you need to drive an electric car, right? You shouldn't be flying around the country, right? You shouldn't have nice things as he has nice things, right? Capitalism sucks, not for Joe, right? Electric cars are sucky, not for Joe. He's got his gas-powered Corvette, right? Electric stoves, shitty. Joe, no, he's got the gas. He's got the gas model.
He's got the gas. Yeah. Joe's got the gas. Is right.
You know, so this is what these people tell us. And for Joe Biden, everything's unfair. But this guy's got like five homes, right? Yeah. No big deal there.
Yeah. Well, he could have done far better in private enterprise, Mike, because he was at the top of his class in law school, wasn't he?
He was. He was. He was the top of his class.
Bottom third.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it? I finished the top of my class. You can ask anybody. Well, we did, Joe. And
I'm a pretty smart dude.
Yeah.
Me and that corn pop guy, remember?
Yeah.
We'd sit by the pool, they rub their hands up my leg and see my hair and all that, right? Yeah. Holy cow.
And I love kids on my lap, as he told us.
I love kids. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. So this, now remember, vice presidents live in the Naval Observatory. And then after that, right? Oh, I'm sure he went back to some modest, you know, modest dwelling. Oh, no. He rented an estimated $20,000 a month in McLean, Virginia. Right. That was at the end of his vice presidential term. So here we are. We get to documents being seized, now seized. Do we even call it seized when his own personal lawyers are going in and saying, hey, we just want to report that there are some classified documents in the now President Biden's house? Are they seized? They didn't do a Mar-a-Lago seize, did they?
And we've said this 100 times. We'll say it 100 times, 100 more times, I should say. I don't give a darn about the documents, honestly. They were both presidents, vice presidents. I hate to sound like I don't care about that stuff. Of course, national security is important. Of course, you can't just be, you know, in Joe's case, you know, having your crackhead son have access to this stuff. Not great. However, is this the hill that we're all going to die on now? Like every ex-president, ex-vice president, ex-speaker of the House, whatever. Is this what we're going to do now every time? Mm-hmm. I have more of an issue with the fact that Donald Trump's house got raided at 6 a.m. in the morning while he was in New York City, and they knew he was in New York City.
Right.
And Joe Biden gets the, hey, how, Joe, how you doing? You want some coffee? We're just going to go in with you. We'll take a look.
Yeah.
Here's where we're going to go. We're going to open these drawers. That is what I have a problem with.
Why, after all, did they go in while he's now president, after elections, they're all done, right?
Yep.
The House turned to GOP control. Senate's still Democrat.
Yeah.
What's the point? Like they didn't do this for Donald Trump at this kind of calm time frame. They did that like right in the heat of campaign season, yep. right? It's like everything's heating up and suddenly we see this on national TV, like waking up to Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate now being flooded with FBI. They're seizing yep. documents out of his place. Where's Donald? He didn't let him in the front door. Oh, right. No, as you said, he's in New York.
Yep.
Okay. Well, why the timing as it was? can we just do a little honorable mention here?
Sure.
Mention a couple people.
Sure.
Two of my favorite people, as you know. Well, my favorite person, Joy Reid.
Oh yeah.
And then Al Sharpton. You know, how I get it. Like if you're going to call people racist because there was conflict between one race and another race, and you think that's the reason there was the conflict, okay, I can kind of get it. It doesn't make any sense logically, but at least you could say, no, well, it was whites against the blacks or blacks against whites, and you could blame one or the other for racism. But, Mike, Memphis, Tennessee, you know, I don't know what the guy was or, you know, Tyre, I think.
Tyree. Yep.
So he gets basically stopped, pulled out of his vehicle, pummeled, beaten basically to death because the guy ends up dying. And it's five black cops.
Yep.
Somehow, Al Sharpton and Joy Reid still find racism in this. How do they do it?
Well, as I was told on Twitter, Mike, numerous times, I don't understand racism. I don't understand institutional racism. I don't understand eternal racism, they tell me on Twitter. Okay.
Eternal.
Well, here's what I do get. The longer that we say everything is racist, number one, the further it diminishes actual racism, number one.
Yep.
And number two, the further that we go where people make excuses for the rest of their life, they can't do things because everything is racist.
Right.
We've talked about this at length. Joy Reid, how is her life built on racism, right? She makes millions of dollars a year. Al Sharpton.
10 million.
Right.
10 million a year Joy Reid makes.
Al Sharpton's been on every TV show, every news station.
Right.
He's been in movies. He was in Mr. Deeds with Adam Sandler. Al Sharpton has lived a life that most people wish they could live, right?
Yeah.
You have people like, I don't know, LeBron James and people like to sit here and say that the US of A is rooted in deep, intense racism still mm-hmm. to this day. Sure. Was there racist things going on years ago, like slavery? Of course. Is that horrible? Of course. Should that ever be allowed at this mm-hmm. point in time? Never. Shouldn't have been allowed back then. At what point are we going to stop blaming the white man, you and me, mm-hmm. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, for every issue that goes on in this country, especially stuff like slavery that we didn't even do?
They'll never stop. And they turn everything into it. Joy Reid saying, you know, these were five black cops killing a black guy, but it's all about the white supremacy of policing and the police forces that are very racist. Al Sharpton, same thing. This is just, you know, they have the nerve to basically say, listen, you know, these black men, they can't obviously think for themselves. So we're just going to say they're just carrying out the white supremacy
orders,
right? Yeah. Like it's because of, I mean, it just, you just can't make sense of it. I don't know how these people get any airtime. Even from the leftist of lefts, how do you still put these people in front of microphones and think you'll have even a single ounce of any credibility?
Mike, how about the fact that this was a stat I read the other day? 35 unarmed black men were killed by police in 2022. The city of Chicago, and I believe there was a couple cities with it, over 2,000 black men killed. In those cities throughout the year. So we're focusing on police brutality because that's the number one cause of deaths for African-American men, right? Not the gang shootings, the drive-by mm-hmm. shootings, the drug shootings, any shootings in Chicago every freaking weekend. That is what we should be focusing on. The actual problem
Right.
Black on black crime, which is a legitimate thing. And if you are an African American or a white person trying to fix this,
right,
that's where I'd start. LeBron James, go there.
Yeah.
Start in Chicago.
You and your $1 billion of net worth, yeah, LeBron. How about go you there. Put it to use and actually be a problem solver? So we had to just do an honorable mention to these folks just because of how absurd they are, how vile they truly are. But the hypocrisy, like it just smells like rotten eggs, like right in front of your nose, right? Well, how about the hypocrisy then of Joe Biden? Now, remember, back in September, Trump gets raided, his Mar-a-Lago estate, classified documents found. Remember the picture of documents, right? This was Joe then, and now here it is happening to him. They're making it sound like, oh, well, see, what a difference. Joe Biden allowing things to play out, allowing all this to take place, being respectful of the law and all that crap.
Before we play the clip, let me just say that.
Okay.
This idea that, like, Joe's a really good guy. He's really good. He turned himself in. It's just insanity. I'll let you play the clip, but it's just insane.
When he's sniffing the backs of, you know, 7-year-old girl's hair.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. Oh, yeah.
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 He turned himself in. It's fine.
We'll be right back after this clip to talk further.
When you saw the photograph of the top secret Mar-a-Lago, what did you think to yourself looking at that image?
Happen? How one anyone could be that irresponsible? That may compromise sources and methods. By that I mean names of, and it's just totally irresponsible.
So Joe thinks it's irresponsible to have documents in your residences, right? Wherever you were, they're secretive, right? They're classified, so they shouldn't be in your place. So Joe. And I wanted to talk about this, like the timing of all this, right? When did we hear about Trump and documents? Right before election,
mm-hmm,
right? Like
mm-hmm,
campaign season, right? When do we hear about Joe's documents? And Mike, why are personal lawyers of Joe Biden looking for documents in his house? Like, did we ever arrive at like, oh yeah, this is just customary? Oh,
I know. I know the answer.
What's the answer?
Because they're getting ahead of it, Mike. Like they said, they're doing the right thing. That's what they're doing, right? They're doing the truthful thing. They're telling the government, you know, we may have screwed up here. And that's what's amazing. Liberals across the world are like, oh, Joe is such a stand-up guy. He's telling us that he did something wrong. What a noble
he
man,
didn't.
Right? It's crap. It's all crap.
He's in his 80s. He's been in politics for like decades. And now they just happen to be looking for documents, and they just happen to come across documents.
And let me say this, for all those that say that, okay, let's play that out. So if you just tell the government or the police or the FBI what you did, it's all okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go say, okay, I didn't mean to murder that person, but I'm telling you I did, so I should get off because I told you I murdered that person. Right?
Yeah. So imagine nothing to see here. Let's move on.
Imagine if you did that. The guy that doesn't tell the police he murdered somebody gets arrested and put in jail. But the guy that just admits to murdering a person gets off like nothing happened. We have to stop joking about this stuff. If you're going to do it to one person, do it to the other. If you're going to raid Donald Trump, raid Joe Biden. If you're going to raid Joe Biden, raid Hillary Clinton. If you're going to raid Hillary Clinton, raid Obama. If you're going to raid Obama, raid Bush. And I can go back, Clinton, whoever. We just have to start doing things the same way and have a process. And we don't have that.
This is what erodes the trust of the public, right? For any public official. So it really ruins your perception of anybody who decides to go and be in public office because of this, right? The hypocrisy, the different treatment of different people, whether it's in the same party, different parties, whatever the case. Who's really good at eroding trust? How about Al Sharpton, Joy Reid? So Memphis, Tennessee, guy gets his ass kicked, right, by 5 cops. And, you know, typically we'll hear race is brought in because it's often, you know, whether it's white cops with a black guy or Asian guy, or maybe it's a combination of black and white cops and they all beat on somebody and it's brutal. They got these cameras on themselves. I have no idea, Mike, by the way, when cops know that they've got the cameras on and they go and do these things, are they just hoping they can do this, you know, just terrible, terrible, violent kind of stop and beat somebody down and that it won't get found. Like, I just can't, I can't understand.
Well,
that.
I said this on the podcast with Stefan the other, or the radio show with Stefan last week. Like, what I don't understand too is like, why do you just put the guy in cuffs, cuff his feet, cuff his arms, and then, you know, let the situation die down. Right. I don't know why, and when you go back to the George Floyd situation with Derek Chauvin, why you have to just go over the top with stuff.
No idea. And I mean, they called this task force like Scorpion, I think.
Yeah.
I just feel like so that's one thing. But these were five black cops and beating down and murdering basically a black man. And just like you would expect, and I'm so shocked still, and I don't know why I'm so shocked. I shouldn't be. But Al Sharpton says, well, this is still racist, right? This is racist because police officers in general are racist. So these are not, this isn't white against black, right? This is still racist. Joy Reid, it's the police. So they're police, which means they're racist. And by the way, black cops will basically carry the water for the white racists by going out and then beating down other black people. Like, you just can't even make this stuff up anymore. And here, you know, I don't know how they have any credibility anymore. So even if you've been a Joy Reid or an Al Sharpton supporter for many, many, many years, and you think, well, they're star power, they're going to bring more people to my event. How do you do that, Mike, when they are so, they're just such liars, they're just scum, they're vile?
Well, I've said this a lot, And I truly mean it. The more they do this stuff, and the more they say this rhetoric, and they have this, you know, us against the world ridiculous mentality, because it's not. They keep perpetuating the problem, right? They keep putting black people down. They keep telling them, and this is what I said. I don't understand it. The liberals are just insane to me. They just continue, and it's white and black on the liberal side. They continue to just say, you will never make it. You will never have a chance. The world is unfair. You live in a crappy country. It's racist. It's unfair. It's racist. It's unfair. It's racist. It's unfair. You're never going to make it. That's their whole message. That's not going to fix these problems.
Right.
When you tell people that cops are racist, the African-American kid that gets pulled over immediately thinks, oh, my God, this guy's going to beat me up. Oh, my God, this guy's going to kill me. Oh, my God, this guy's a bad guy. It's not the case. Yes. Are there bad cops? Of course there are.
Right.
Are there bad doctors? Of course. Bad financial planners? Of mm-hmm. course. There's been many financial planners over the years that have gotten arrested for stealing people's money. Does that mean Mike Hayflick's a bad guy?
Right.
Absolutely not.
And we just talked about it. You got to treat all of those bad apples, the bad characters, the same, because then none of the folks that are doing their job the right way are going to be worried about, you know, like this evolution of, oh, my gosh, if he was bad or she was bad and didn't get convicted or wasn't scrutinized, what about me? Like, they could just basically say I'm bad, right, and then I turn into bad because I'm part of that group. Here's Joy just talking about the arrest, right? She says, and it literally doesn't matter whether the police officer is white or looks like you, grew up like you, or could, without that uniform on, be you. It's not the race of the officer. It's the design of the system. Again, occasionally, some of the slave catchers were black. So see how they change this? Like, this will go on forever, folks. So if you're already very disgusted, you know, you kind of, you know, just get all twisted up over their logic, Don't think it's going to change. I mean, get used to this, right? Get used to the feeling you have, because they will make this stuff they will make this stuff about whatever they want it to be about. And you know what? If they're in power, none of this will ever change. They are not about solutions. And that's the most frustrating thing. These cities, Mike, run by in many cases, big cities run by Democrats will never change. They don't want it to change. They want to always come in and criticize, and they want to berate all of us and say that they'll now fix the problem. They don't know how to fix problems. I don't think they know how to tie shoes. I bet they all have Velcro shoes or slip-on shoes, because I think tying shoes would be too complicated for these people.
Well, what they do is they tell you they're going to fix it, and by fixing it, they just add to it and just flame the fire like they did in Portland. This is another one, too. I'm not going to play the clip, but Whoopi Goldberg. Do we need to see white people get beaten before anybody will do anything? So now let's just go beat up the white folks, too. I mean...
Yeah, Whoopi, like your husband.
Right,
Ted Danson. Let's just do a beatdown of Ted.
Right, right.
Maybe everyone will understand now the hatred and the prejudice against you. And oh, by the way, how many millions of dollars have you made in a great capitalistic society? And you're a good actress. I've always enjoyed, like, Ghost years ago. It was cool. It was a good actor. You're a good actor. You're funny. And you've made a lot of money doing this. So, yeah, let's just go beat down everybody, Whoopi, and that'll solve the friggin' problem.
I can't say this enough. I just wish we would go back to what America was like, I don't know, 100 years ago, which was you come here, you work your ass off, and you try and make it for your family, right? Why a lot of these people, not all of them, why a lot of these people are crossing our southern border every day. Why? Because they want to come here to be in the greatest country of the world. That's why. Now, there's some bad actors there, too, of course. Mm-hmm. We know that. Drug dealers, terrorists, what you name it, and just criminals. But there's a lot of good people trying to cross that border. Does that mean we let them in? No. But the reason they're coming in here is because they want the American life, because it is great. No matter what Whoopi says, no matter what Joy mm-hmm. Reid says, Joy Behar says, Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, you name it, this is the greatest country in the world. It gives people the biggest and best opportunity you can have. However, our leaders and the elitists don't want the opportunities for these other people. They want it for themselves. They want to make the money. Al Sharpton wants to make the money. Mike, let's look up Al Sharpton's net worth, since America is so racist and unfair. Let's take a look at him.
They're just such buffoons. I mean, between the mainstream media and some of these buffoons, I mean, honestly, who is even turning on these shows anymore? Who's even turning on Joy Behar or Joy Reid? I mean, how do you listen to these people? They are absolute buffoons. And it's just become a spectacle. It's simply entertainment. It's simply more material for people like us who are trying to espouse common sense, as we'd say. Like, how I don't know how they even stay on television. I don't know how they even get on the airwaves when they make no sense at all. They are never consistent. They are always hypocritical. Their arguments are not even arguments anymore. And these are smart people. So you know it's intent. You know they're just trying to keep the narrative in their corner. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. You could have, you know, fentanyl deaths up to the thousands a day, and it doesn't matter to them. You could have thousands of people crossing the southern border and now the northern border, by the way, and they don't care. They want to just keep labeling, putting us all in different corners, dividing, so they can come in and say, you're awful, you don't belong here, you're not one of us.
So I did some homework here, Mike. Joy Reid, you said $10 million a year, which is accurate. Net worth at $4 million. Not too bad. Not too bad.
What's she spending all that money on?
I mean,
if you could live on $1 million out of the $10 million a year, you'd have $9 million. Don't come to us, though, to invest, though, Joy, please. You're not going to – I definitely don't want to see you in our building.
You will not – and I will not write your auto insurance either. Whoopi Goldberg, Mike,
mm-hmm.
racist, $60 million.
Oh,
very racist in this
geez.
Country.
Give it all away, Whoopi. If you don't like the, you know, the America you live in, leave. Remember when Trump got elected? How many people across the country, especially out on that left coast, said, we're leaving. We're going up to Canada. Did anyone leave, Mike? I don't think so.
I actually have an update, I believe, here on Joy Reid. It's actually $21 million. I'm sorry. That was a different article. $21 million Joy Reid's worth. Here's the best one. Known race baiter and hater of America, LeBron James.
mm-hmm.
Worth $1.2 billion. With a B. Not an M. With a B. Mm-hmm. $1.2 billion. Known American and American hater and race baiter, LeBron James. Not doing too bad in this terrible country that we live in. Not doing too bad. And I actually was surprised. Al Sharpton showing only about $1 million. That's a shocker. He's got to have some offshore accounts somewhere.
I loved the hissy fit that LeBron threw after getting fouled on a layup and then losing the game.
Yeah.
It's a regular season game. Who cares, right? But here he is throwing a hissy fit, literally like, oh, I can't believe it. Everyone's consoling him. It's like, give me a break. Give me a break. It's a basketball game. $1.2 billion worth. Okay, LeBron. We're all like sympathetic to you. And yes, you got fouled. Okay. You lost the game. Oh my gosh. What happened? You probably got in your, ultra deluxe Land Rover, went home, maybe took your Lamborghini for a ride, probably turned on your gas stove, You know, what do you use? You use like ultra turbo, you know, fuel for your, you know, sports cars. Give me a break. And then you probably flew your private jet somewhere too, right? So I'm so sick of these people. I can barely look at people now. I used to like watching certain movies. If certain people are in these movies, Mike, I can't even watch them anymore. Like I can't, because I can't like lose the connection of then seeing them be like complete imbeciles when they try to get into the political public forum. Yep. Like you're not even part of the public forum. You live in this elite fantasy land, and then you try to preach downward to all of us.
Well, and I'm gonna stay with basketball for a minute. You look at LeBron James, you know, known hater of America, and then you go and you see he just loves China, loves it, eats it up, right? Yeah. You want to talk about disparity between the rich and the poor? Go over there and check that out.
Check out the Uyghur camps.
Yeah. Let's do that. LeBron, maybe instead of being like surrounded by Secret Service all the time when you go places, and not Secret Service, but you know, bodyguards and whatnot. Yeah. Go there and don't have your bodyguards, and go into the Uyghur camps and let me know how it goes.
Just check it out. Maybe you'll go get a new place over there. Probably has one.
I'm sure he does.
Don't know about.
Yeah, I'm sure he's friends with Xi. Yes. Speaking of basketball, and speaking of people that are worth $160 million, Steph Curry, basketball player for the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry and his wife, mm-hmm. believe this or not, Mike, also known America haters and Trump haters and you know, race baiters, they opposed a mixed income housing development in their hometown. Why would they do that? Why would they oppose a mixed income housing development in their neighborhood? Well, I thought we're all together, right? We're all
on the same
two
team.
Two peas in a pod, right? Everybody's together, right? We're all unity, baby. Unity. We want unity. We want everybody together. We want everybody back. Let's be transparent. Let's be unified. No. Not my neighborhood.
What happened to the rising tide lifts all boats?
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. It does. But they say, keep your freaking boat out of my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Go find another bay, another oceanfront. You know, area for your boat. I don't want your boat in my neighborhood. It's disgusting.
And this article by the New York Post, the title is all I'm going to read of it. It says it perfectly. Steph Curry shows real American divide is wealth, not race. Okay. And that's exactly right. Why do I say that? Because it's about people don't want poor people and homelessness camps in their neighborhood. It doesn't matter who's white, black, right. Asian, Hispanic. It doesn't matter. The people want to live with people that they maybe agree with, that they think like, or that they act like, right? Yep. It's not. It doesn't mean look like. It's not about what you look like. It's about who you are and what you do. If you shoot heroin and you live in a tent, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care what color you are. I don't want you on my street.
If you assault me as I'm walking down the sidewalk and I'm stepping in your crap, I am going to have a problem with it.
Yeah.
So, hey, Steph, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It is really about
who would have thought?
People, mentally ill people, homeless people, drug addicts. It is about that. It's not about the color of their skin. But why? What about this mixed housing? Why don't you let them be in your neighborhood? And how about you do something to help fix it, right? Talk to your local legislators and figure something out. Make life better for these people. No. Just get them out of my way, right? Just like the Nancy Pelosi's of the world. You know, put walls around your property. As long as it's happening outside of my private walls with Paul and all of Paul's friends who come in the middle of the night, you know, it's okay. It's okay. If they're outside our walls, but oh my gosh, like that's that life. We have our own life that we've enriched ourselves to the tens of millions of dollars to, basically on our dime, right? And then through other little channels we won't talk about because nobody deserves to talk about it. It should be private, Mike. It's private.
And I think to almost wrap up here, I think the biggest thing too is this is not spoken out of like jealousy or anger for us. But I'm thrilled that LeBron James is worth $1.2 billion. I hope to be worth $1.2 billion one day. Good for him. Mm-hmm. I love capitalism, baby. He's got something I don't have. A 6'9", extremely freakish athletic frame. Right? Wish I did. I'm 6'4", and not that athletic. So I screwed that up for myself. However, you know, or actually, I should say my dad screwed that up.
I blame my dad. I was just going to say, I blame Charlie.
But you get where I'm going. Like, God bless them, right? Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, whoever. God bless Josh Allen. God bless those guys for being 6'4" and freaks of athletic, or freaks of like Tom Brady's just a smart guy.
Yeah.
Good for them. I'm not mad about that.
No. By the way, your mom actually supported what you wanted to do, and I know Charlie held you back.
I agree.
Your mom's like an angel. She would have done anything for you, and Charlie kept saying, no.
I blame my wife. I was going to be Tucker Carlson one day, and she told me I couldn't do it.
She couldn't do it. So we're in the middle of winter. It is Groundhog Day, by the way.
It does
feel like Groundhog Day sometimes, you know, just the routines. And I am kind of tired up here in Western New York, feeling like every body part freezes from the time I leave my house, get in my car, and get to the office. And then eventually things all thaw out again. You know, climate change is upon us, folks, right? Arctic air. You know, we're going to have Arctic air for like about 36 hours, and then it's going to be back into the 30s. But, man, I wish they'd fix something. Mike, how about take away fossil fuels? You know, I think that's really the – I can't even keep up anymore.
And get rid of those houses on the water. Yep, I agree.
Don't get rid of them all, because that's where they party. That's where they have their campaign events, right?
Yep.
And that's what it's all about. It's those properties are for the people, for we the people, right? So keep buying them up.
Here's what I'd like then, Joe Biden. I would like that to cost the same amount of money then for folks like me and folks like, you know, I don't know, you, right? So if you can rent that out so the poor people like us can do it, I'm all for it, man. We'll keep that property. The only problem is he's charging his own son $50,000. So I wonder what it would be for someone like us to have one of those properties rented out.
No idea. But anyway, folks, for this and other Financial Guys podcasts, go to financialguysmedia.com. You'll hear Mike Spiraza and Stefan Mihailu. You'll hear Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle. And, of course, you'll hear yours truly along with my partner, Mike, here. We have a lot of fun. This is like a therapy session, folks, when we do this. It really does relieve us of stress. It reduces and keeps our blood pressure in check. But join us. We also do a radio show, so you can find that online. Mike, you and I are hosting this Saturday, so we're gonna have some fun. We'll probably talk about some of these things and more. So folks, that'll do it this week. We appreciate you tuning in. Keep up the good fight. We try. Mike Spiraza, Mike Hayflick, we'll be back next week.